If you will turn in your Bibles, please, to Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs 20 and verse 5. We looked at the first four verses last week, so let me read just a few verses to give you a little bit of idea of the context. Though in Proverbs it doesn't always flow with the same thought. Verse 5 says, "Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? The just man walketh in his integrity, his children are blessed after him. A king that sitteth in the throne of judgment scattereth away all evil with his eyes. Who can say, I have made my heart clean, I am pure from my sin? Divers weights and divers measures, both of them are alike abomination to the Lord. Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made even both of them. Love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread. It is naught, saith the buyer. But when he has gone his way, then he boasteth." So let's back up to verse 5, where it talks about counsel in the heart and drawing it out there. Counsel is certainly needed. We make decisions, we need advice, we need counsel. And from the natural man, before we're saved, we don't really have any good counsel down deep within the heart to give to anyone or to draw from. But after the Lord saves us, he puts counsel within the heart. As we grow closer to the Lord and learn more of his word, those things start to be a part of our thinking and even our praying as we pray scriptural words there. So it says that counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, and a man of understanding will draw it out. And so whenever people are looking for counsel and guidance, we can be a cup of fresh water to them, deep water, whenever we look to the counsel from God's word. Verse 6 says, "Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness." So most people will brag about how good they are. You know, maybe some more than others, but they will proclaim it. But notice the latter part of the verse. It says, "But." And we know that from studying Proverbs, we've been looking where we see, I was making sure that wasn't Carol texted me again. I don't think she's going to text during church, but I'll keep an eye on it to make sure the seniors don't need me for something. But the contrast here at the end of verse 6, I was looking for it when I see the word "but." So it's talking about somebody proclaiming his goodness, and then the other part of the verse talks about, it says, "but a faithful man who can find." And so the contrast that we see here is someone who talks about how spiritual and how faithful he is, as opposed to the person who just goes around and does it. You know, and so most people will talk about how spiritual and faithful they are, but to find someone who's just getting the job done, sometimes it's hard to find those people. Verse 7, "The just man walketh in his integrity, and his children are blessed after him." And I have drawn a line in my Bible from the word "faithful" in verse 6 to the word "walketh" in verse 7, because a faithful walk, person who's just steady, step after step after step, that walk is faithful. Some people will talk about it, they'll proclaim how good they are, but a person who walks and walks steadily and faithful is of the Lord there. Verse 8, "A king that sits in the throne of judgment scatters away all evil with his eyes." Don't most people behave better when they know authority is watching them? Have you ever been guilty of driving down the highway and maybe you've lost track of how fast you were going and you see a blue light or see the radar there and all of a sudden you slow down? yeah, my guilt kicking in or whatever it is, because authority is watching there. Years ago when I was teaching sixth grade, I also had much better hearing in those days as well. And I was in the back building back there. Sometimes I come into the kitchen and you go back into the, and I was to the far end of the hall at the beginning of my years here. And there would always be some kid, you know, looking around. And I start coming and it's like, Mr. Davis is coming. You know, they're whispering, but I could even hear them all the way down the hall there. It was making a difference that I was coming to see them. And so that's what the verse is talking about, that a king, he scatters away evil with his eyes. And that concept works in the classroom. If, as a teacher, I'm giving a test, kids will be tempted to cheat. I've had them do it, you know, copy things, have it inside their desk and try to pull it out. But how do you stop that? Well, might not stop it totally, but one way you can make it less and less is to watch them. If you're walking up and down, or if you're behind them, you know, and they can't tell if you're looking at them or not, it helps there too. And so the more that we watch, and so we do that with our kids. God does that with us. The king scatters evil with his eyes. What does the Bible say about the Lord's eyes run to and fro? And not only does the Lord's eyes run to and fro to scatter evil, but the Lord's eyes run to and fro to reward those who are the faithful walkers, as we see in the previous verses there. Now, verse 9, ask a question. Who can say, I have made my heart clean, I am pure from my sin? There. And we look at that and say, well, who can say that? Who can say I'm pure and clean? Well, we have to look at that from two ways, actually. We can't make ourselves pure and clean. Nobody can say, I've done it. But whenever we have trusted the Lord and He has cleansed us, we can say that I'm clean and I'm pure through the blood of Christ. But we certainly don't do it ourselves. But He does that for us, and thank the Lord that He does. He makes us clean and pure from our sins. Verse 10, divers weights and divers measures there, different, diverse. Unequal weights and unequal measures. You know, if a person is showing favoritism, if they're measuring out grain or measuring out money, and they're showing favoritism, they're giving more to one than to another, that is unjust. And it tells us here that they are abomination to the Lord, having different weights and measures. The Lord detests that because it's deception. And that's what started in the Garden of Eden. Satan came along to deceive, and God hates deception. And so when people have different weights and measures for different people, whether it's racial or any other kind, where you measure things differently for one than another, not being equitable, it's abomination to the Lord. Verse 11 is a verse that I've had kids write sometimes whenever they are misbehaving. Even a child is known by his doings. Well, so was an adult. His doings there. What did we see back up in verse 6? Most people, they will proclaim, they'll tell how good they are, but their doings will tell the true story. And even a child is known by his doings, whether his work is pure and whether it is right. The Bible says, by their fruit you shall know them there. And it applies to children as well. And that's why it's so important we tell them, you know, do what's right. Tell the truth, because you're going to be known. You're going to set a reputation for yourself, even a reputation to do good things or a reputation to be having false weights and balances there. And so we do what's right because the eyes of the Lord are watching. Verse 12, the hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made both of them to hear his voice, to see his word, so that then we can walk faithfully. We see his word, we hear his voice, and we walk every day faithfully with the Lord. Not everyone that has eyes can see. Not everyone who has ears can hear. That's why the scripture says from time to time, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And we need to take in what God has to say here and then live by it so that we're not just proclaiming our goodness, but we're walking faithfully before the Lord, because the Lord's eyes, he sees who's faithful. He sees who just talks about it and doesn't have the walk to support it there. Verse 13, love not sleep. Talks about laziness. Lest thou come to poverty, open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread. And laziness causes hunger. Laziness causes poverty. And the Lord honors hard work and diligence there. It's an honoring thing to God. Verse 14. I get a kick out of this verse, having been brought up in a home where my dad sold used cars for many, many years, and I was involved in going up to Pennsylvania with him and bringing them back and fixing them up and selling them. And I think about that when I read this verse. It is not, says the buyer. But when he's gone away, then he boasts. You know, he's trying to buy this car, whatever he's trying to buy, and he walks around to the seller and he says, oh, he's got a little dent here, he's got a scratch here. What's that little sound I hear? You know, the tires look a little bit, you know, and then he starts telling all the things that are wrong with it, you know. And then whenever he goes away to his friends, look at this great deal I got, you know. And then he starts boasting about how good a deal he has there. And so, and that's just the nature of man, and that's what this verse is talking about. It's not, says the buyer, but when he goes his way, then he boast there. Oh, I got to put that on vibrate. All right, that's not Carol. Verse 15, there's gold and a multitude of rubies. Well, that's not in my house. What about yours? But the lips of knowledge. Here's that contrasting conjunction again. The lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. And so there's something that's better than the rubies and the gold, and that is lips of knowledge. It doesn't talk about just having knowledge, but the lips of knowledge means that a person is going to take the knowledge and is going to share it. What good is knowledge if we have it and we just hold on to it and don't share it? And what is the greatest knowledge of all, the greatest news? The knowledge of Jesus Christ. The gospel. And so we need to have lips of knowledge that share something that's more precious than gold and precious than rubies, and that is the gospel of Christ there. Verse 18 says, take his garment that is surety for a stranger, and take a pledge of him for a strange woman there. And so taking a pledge or signing a banknote or something for a stranger, it's not a smart thing to do. Many verses in the book of Proverbs address the issue of relationships. Relationships with friends, relationships with God, relationships with strangers, relationships with ourselves, relationships with material things as well. And so he says, take his garment, you'll lose your shirt. They'll take the shirt right off your back, is a saying that we say, being surety for a stranger, and take a pledge of him for a strange woman. Often in scriptures we see that phrase, a strange woman, which can also be translated other woman there. And so it has to do with strangers to God as well in these relationships. And so we have to be careful with people that are unsaved. Maybe you have to be careful with some Christians as well. But with unsaved people, they generally don't live by principle. Most men will brag about his own goodness, we saw, and then they will also say, it's not to the buyer, and then they'll turn around and brag. And so there's a warning about dealing with people that don't live according to the principles of the Word of God. Verse 17 says, the bread of deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth is filled with gravel. Can you imagine your mouth being filled with dirt and gravel? I saw that movie, I don't know what it was. We saw something, it was a man, it was an old Western or something, and it was dirt coming in. My wife was about to choke just watching that as well. Can you imagine having a mouthful of gravel there? The bread of deceit is sweet to a man, and afterwards his mouth is filled with gravel. And so the afterwards is at the end. Oh, it might seem sweet at first. The bread is sweet at first, but at the end, it's not going to be that way there. And Satan is good at enticing people with things that look so appealing at the beginning, but at the end, it's like having a mouthful of rocks there. Verse 18, every purpose is established by counsel. We saw a verse earlier that had to do with counsel. So every intention we have, every thought, that's the word purpose there. It's established by counsel. So whenever we make plans, we have our purpose, we have our development of those plans, and we're going to lay it out. And the verse talks about having those plans laid out. You want to get some good advice. With good advice, make war. Hold your place there and go over to Luke 14. We were in this one probably 6 or 8 weeks ago. Is it getting warm in here? Would you put the air down on that bottom one there? The bottom unit, if you bump it down a couple of knots, it'll kick on a little air. Luke chapter 14. Thank you. I hear it coming on. Verses 31 and 32. He says, or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consults whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that comes against him with 20,000? Or else while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassador and desires conditions of peace. And so this is telling us that you count the cost before you go to battle. You count the cost before you build a house there. You don't want to get halfway through with something and then not be able to finish it there. And with that comes good advice in verse 18 there. With good advice, make war. Every purpose is established by counsel. God will use us as we get older for younger people who are looking for guidance, looking for counsel. We can give them good advice and help them with that. Verse 19, will someone look up a verse for me, Leviticus 19, 16, Matt, in just a minute if you'll read Leviticus 19, 16. Verse 19 says, he that goeth about as a talebearer reveals secrets. Therefore, meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. And the word talebearer is a word that refers to somebody who goes around talking about everybody else's business. And it's prohibited even in the Mosaic law. Matthew, read Leviticus 19, 16, and you'll see where it talks about a talebearer. And so God says, you shouldn't go out as a talebearer, spreading gossip, talking about other people. And so it's written in the Mosaic law. And so any law that is disobeyed answers to a holy God. For in that verse it says, I am the Lord thy God. So God is saying this, and people answer to God whenever they become a talebearer. And verse 19 says, they reveal secrets. The word reveal is a Hebrew word that has to do with to strip away from, to expose nakedness. And with that exposure comes shame. And so when a talebearer is doing that, and they are spreading gossip, and they are revealing secrets, one of the things that when you find out your really true friends that can keep a confidence, how many people do you know that you want to share something, but you only want that one person to know and nobody else? How many people that do you know that you are totally confident that you can hold confidence? You know, they get kind of few, don't they? That you can really trust with that there. And that word secrets is a Hebrew word that comes from the root word meaning a couch or a cushion. And not like a psychiatrist lying on the couch, but it's the idea of two people just casually there, comfortable on a sofa, just chat, you know, doing that kind of thing. And so those who reveal secrets. Then the next word in this verse talks about meddle. Therefore, meddle not with him that flatters with his lips. And the word meddle is a word that means to interweave. And so you're just going in and out together. So you're joining in this close-knit relationship with a person who is a talebearer. And the warning here is, don't do it. Don't meddle with those that flatter with the lips. This word flattereth is an interesting Hebrew word as well. It's a Hebrew word that means to be open. And several words come from that. One word is used in the story of Delilah whenever she enticed Samson. And the word enticed is this word that has to do with being open or flattering. That's what she did. She flattered him, and it has the idea of a trap. And so here's this trap that is open, but as soon as you go into that trap, it clings shut. And so he says, be careful about developing relationships with people that are talebearers. And as a guide, if people will be a talebearer to you, probably they will be a talebearer about you, because if they will be doing that with you, they'll be doing it with someone else as well. And as I said a couple of weeks ago when we were on this topic, you know, people really shouldn't be comfortable coming to me or to you being a talebearer. Why would they be comfortable? If they're comfortable, it's because we're not, reproving that kind of behavior with them there. And so God gives us this command here that not to meddle with those who have flattering words with their lips there. Now, verse 20, whoso curses his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. In the Hebrew language, there are two words that are translated curse. One of them, which is not used here, remember what God said to Abraham? I'm going to bless those that bless you, and I'm going to curse those that curse you. When that word curse is used, it means that God is going to bring some calamity on them for doing that. He's going to bring, or the word is evil. Sometimes it's translated. But the word curse, as it's used here, it has the idea of being disrespectful. It means to think little of. So when it says that he that curses his father or mother, that he thinks so little of them, that they're not going to go out of the way to take care of their parents as they get older there. And that's part of honoring father and mother. It doesn't cease whenever people in their younger years, they get married. That command to honor your father and mother is not just for children who are living at home, is it? It continues there. And so God will honor those that honor him there. And so whoever thinks little of his father or mother, his lamp shall be put out into obscure darkness. And this is not passive voice here. It's not just like his lamp is going to eventually go out. This is direct action that God is going to do. So God takes specific action against all those who dishonor their parents. God takes action against those that meddle with talebearers. And so whenever we read these Proverbs, this is called the Book of Wisdom. And when we take heed to the wise words that God gives us, we can save ourselves a lot of heartaches and a lot of problems if we will listen to the words of wisdom that Solomon gave to us. And so let's look at verse 21 and we'll stop there. It says, an inheritance may be gotten. An inheritance oftentimes is gotten from the father and mother. Tying back to the previous verse there, the Hebrew word inheritance has to do with the possession that one has a legal claim to. And children would have that legal claim to these possessions in the Hebrew custom there. So it says an inheritance, it may be gotten hastily at the beginning, but the end thereof shall not be blessed. And so there are long-term consequences when people take shortcuts to getting their inheritance whenever they don't honor their father and mother there. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. said it this way. You've probably seen the quote before. Don't sacrifice the permanent on the altar of the immediate. And so the end thereof. And so oftentimes we live in an instant society. We want it now. And here the warning is, you might have that self-gratification immediately, but there are going to be long-term consequences. And so one of the warnings of the scripture for us as believers is, don't just give in to every whim of the flesh, because there might be something we want now, but it might not be best for us. And so going back to the verse that we started, counsel in the heart is like deep waters that will bring it out to say, do I need to wait? And we wait on the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the wisdom of Scripture and for the book of Proverbs. We know that Solomon was wise above others because you gave him wisdom. And Lord, that wisdom is available to us as well, because your wisdom is never diminished. Just because you give it to some doesn't mean that others can't have it. And we thank you that it's available to us. And Lord, we certainly need wisdom because we live in a society where there are those who will try to take the shirt off your back. There are those that are talebearers. There are those that dishonor their parents. Lord, we live in such a wicked society. And so we need the wisdom of Scripture to beware of the evil around us and know how to make decisions that are honoring to you. Help us, Father, not to just go around proclaiming our own goodness, but that we would walk faithfully before your eyes. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.